You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. It is Saturday, the 29th of February. Happy Leap Day, everybody. Looking forward to March kicking off tomorrow. We all know what that means. We all know what March brings around the corner. We've done quite enough talking about Cheltenham Festival. There's been some good racing today, and I'm delighted to say that my pundit in the studio is Andy Holding. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad
good.
At all.
Good.
You've been with us actually over the course of the couple of days. You were with us yesterday as well.
Yep.
And today, as a bit of a bonus, first question I ask everybody is, have you been in good form?
Relatively, yeah. I think it's been hard work. It's been hard work for the horses, which we'll touch upon in a second. But trying to work out which horses are going to plough their way through the ground, particularly with the wind that's still around as well. Obviously, there's still 40 mile an hour gusts in some unexposed areas, and I just think the combination of drying sticky ground that's up and down the length and breadth of the country has made life very, very difficult for some of the horses, and particularly at Doncaster today, when we've just seen the Grinthorpe, the winner's won by virtually half the length of the running.
Yeah,
I mean, there's only been two horses that's stayed on the feet and chased him home.
To timestamp this, then, we're recording this literally minutes after the Grimthorpe has come to its conclusion. Captain Chaos, the 9-2 winner.
Captain Chaos is over two out. He's clear. Just watching Worthy Farm continuing. He's in second, but he's a very tired horse. Then back in third is Yaltara. He's the only one still going. One more fence to go then for Captain Chaos, who's 20 lengths clear. Hold your breath if you've backed him. He's getting very weary, but he deserves to be because he's been out in front from the word go, and he's made every yard a winning one here. Captain Chaos and Harry Skelton being driven out towards the line. What a game performance then by the nine-year-old. Comes home to win it really, really well. Captain Chaos makes every yard and takes the Grimthorpe in style, and he's won it by a distance here. Worthy Farm, I'm afraid, no match for him today in the jumping department. He's going to get second, and Yaltari, the only other one to finish, in third.
We've had four races at Doncaster today. The official going says heavy. It could be even worse. It just feels so slow and lethargic. Horses are walking across the line. It must be so energy sapping for all concerned.
I would say it's probably the worst ground horses can run on, because they've had all the rain yesterday. It's soaked into the ground.
Yep.
And then it's dried out overnight, so there's a bit of a crust on top of it. So the horses are going in, it's almost like clagging on their hooves. And then if you add into the factor, certain parts of the course, obviously where the wind's swirling around, it's going to be head-on for them in the home straight when they're getting tired.
Yeah.
So they're getting tired having to push their weight through the ground. And then obviously they hit the headwind and most of the horses are just stopping because they're absolutely exhausted.
It looked like on a couple of occasions that as they were coming towards the last, a couple of them were just coming to almost a walk and almost just stepping over
the last couple,
because it's just too much to try and leap majestically across. It's really testing.
I've noticed as well that all the winners at Doncaster in the last two or three days, most of them have been in the van throughout, particularly on the trace track. I mean, we've seen two make all performances today. Captain Chaos made all, Gino Train made all. I think there was two or three that made all yesterday. So if you're on a hold-up performer that runs really well and finishes in the frame, I think you've got to certainly look at that next time and upgrade it.
So when you take a look at the form that we've seen today, we've seen an odds-on favourite in Silana win the 3 o'clock. Does the conditions, the ground, the weather, etc., put a little asterisk on the performance? Do you look next time and go, Silana won and won nicely, Captain Chaos won and won nicely, however, we just don't know how good a form a piece that is because of the conditions and the other horses involved?
Yeah, pretty much. Particularly if you get wide margin victories like Captain Chaos, you certainly take that with a pinch of salt because you know that is not his true worth. It was a case of him being the only one who kept galloping because he had an advantage of being in that good rhythm in front, and other horses in behind made mistakes. And as I said, it was just very difficult to make ground from the back of the field. So you'd certainly take not the results today at face value anyway going forward. But you'd certainly look at those that did make a lot of headway from the back of the field and got themselves into reasonable positions.
The other question I want to ask with regards to the weather, a very British start to this podcast moaning about the weather, is regarding Newbury. We did have a card at Newbury yesterday and all seemed okay. Mm. I can't put you in the shoes of the clerk of the course and people who make decisions, but how frustrating is it to lose a Saturday's worth of racing, potentially at the expense of Friday? It just hasn't worked out the way they would have liked.
Well, they could have easily thought, well, we'll abandon Friday and take a chance and put all our eggs in one basket and run it on Saturday, but that would have been a disaster both ends, because at least they took a chance and run the Friday card, which just about got through. But you could see by the end of play yesterday, it was already heavy and there was standing water everywhere. The forecast was terrible. They got more than they expected. I think they were expecting between 5 and 6. They got double that. They got 12. And there was just puddles everywhere, and it just didn't have enough time to disperse, and unfortunately we lost a good card, and it's rather been a sort of sad and sorry sight today, really. Kelso and Doncaster got the show on the road, but it doesn't feel like a Saturday.
No, it doesn't. There's the combination of the conditions that are playing out in front of us, and there's that sort of lull before the storm feeling of all of this. So it has been a little bit flat for a Saturday. It feels almost Sunday-esque in amongst the office here, if you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, and it's also a little bit like we almost feel as though we're in a state of VAR here, don't we? to use a common vernacular nowadays, because there is that hanging doubt over our minds with Cheltenham around the corner. Will it be on or won't it? It's almost like we want to celebrate Cheltenham coming. We want to get excited, but we're half thinking, well, we can't get too excited because the government could easily come stamping down on us and say, you know, no racing, no sporting events of any magnitude with so many people there.
As the French have done today.
Yeah, exactly, which could easily happen. You know, we all love Cheltenham in our own little bubble. We think it's the only thing that matters. But, you know, the government have got to protect people and for their own good, for their own safety, to stop it spreading. And if it does escalate in the numbers that it might elsewhere in the world, this time next week we could be in trouble. So we've just got to keep our fingers crossed that it's contained and we don't get into treble figures. At the moment, I think it's 23 confirmed cases. No one's actually died in this country of it. Obviously, we had the one on the ship out in I think it was Japan, wasn't it, in the end? So, which was not great, but at the moment, it's not as bad as what it could be, so let's just keep our fingers crossed.
So it's not the weather. We're battling against coronavirus.
Who would have thought
it's all, it's all going against us.
It's been horrible. It's been a horrible winter.
Hasn't it just?
The weather's been shocking. You know, there's been floods everywhere. You know, loss of life, damage all that. You know, people have lost their livelihoods, and you see the people, you know, getting water out of the houses and businesses, and now this coronavirus. Yeah, it's just very depressing.
Sometimes it brings something like horse racing into a tiny...
Well, it does really,
Yeah,
exactly.
Really.
There are greater forces.
Yeah. we may have lost a day's racing at Newbury, but everything's okay in the long run.
Yeah, and, you know, if we lose Cheltenham, we've lost it before, and it was hard to take at the time, but, you know, there's other meetings further down the line, so life goes on.
It does indeed. You're absolutely right. We've moaned about the weather. I'm going to do a little bit more now. Monday, the card at Chepstow has already gone. We know that has disappeared. Tomorrow, we are due racing from Leopardstown, Sedgefield and Huntington as well. And I can tell you that there is a 7 a.m. inspection at Sedgefield. So we're already starting to see the impact of the weather for the coming week. As I say, Chepstow already abandoned. Oh, yeah. On Monday, hopefully Weatherby and Wolverhampton will see us through. I think that just about wraps up Saturday. About the weather.
Yeah, I've had a good
round. Grimthorpe Chase was good. We don't mind that. Let's have a little look ahead to Sunday. What we have of Sunday, like I say, we have Leopardstown, we have Sedgefield, hopefully, and we have Huntington as well. William Hill Racing Radio will always have that. Don't you worry about that. Lucy Hughes, Paddy Aspel will be back again, and Will Smith. They're the trio that will guide you through those three cards. Hopefully, all being well, they'll have plenty to talk about from 10 minutes before the first race until shortly after the finale comes to its conclusion. Now, as always, we ask our pundit to pick a couple of races from the following day to have a little bit of a look at, and we've got a couple at Leopardstown to look through with Andy today. We start at the 3:35 at Leopardstown, 2 miles, handicap hurdle, four-year-olds and more. Spruced Up, 4-1 favourite. Polished Steel, 5-1. Another 5-1 is Zambezi Fix. Wolf of All Streets is 6-1. Filon Duderi, we're going to see a Duderi suffix very shortly at the Cheltenham Festival, running well. Ryan Fee, 8-1. Fagunon is 12s. Young Ned of the Hill, 12-1. Tandem 14s, 18s for British Art, 20-1 and bigger for the final three for Vori Logique, Ben Kay and Flint. 13 are scheduled to go to post here at time of recording. Is there one? Is there a few that you'd like to mention?
I think there's only one, really.
Okay, good.
I want to concentrate on Spruced Up, who's been chalked up favourite, William Hill, around about the 4-1 mark at the time of recording. In the scheme of things, I don't think that's bad value for Edward Hartey's charge. She's very much going in the right direction. She was a very popular choice in the market when she won at Fairy House a couple of starts ago. She hadn't got that much form going into that race to shout home about, but the market got it right. Under an excellent ride by Anya O'Connor, she got the better of a very competitive field by 18 lengths, no less. Back in third was Wolf of All Streets, who's subsequently gone on to win twice.
So that and reopposes here again.
Reopposes,
6-1.
Yeah, reopposes, but I can't see it turning around an 18-length deficit.
Fair.
And then I think a better run actually came in defeat last time out in a much better race. It was almost like a graded race. I know it was a handicap by name, but it was chock full of some really good mares. The winner, Black Tears, subsequently went on to finish third next time out in a grade three. And all the way down the line, there's horses that were contested graded races in the past, horses like Barra, Emily Moon. So it was about as competitive you're going to get. I think there'll be a few horses out of that race that run at the Cheltenham Festival, including the winner Black Tears, who I think will run in the mare's race again. A horse called Constantista, who's one of my shortlisted horses for the County Hurdle. There you go, there's a tip in advance. From Willie Mullins' stable, who finished third. And back and forth has Spruced Up, just didn't quite get home, but it was more of a case of probably that class of event just catching her out. But she's now back in her own grade. She's still, you know, rated 119, which I think is fair enough. She's only gone up a pound. But this is very much a scale or two lower than that race the other day. And I even think, like I say, 4-1 is a fair enough each way bet as far as I can see. Because if you've got Wolf of All Street third or fourth in the betting, it's already battered that. Polished Steel isn't probably in the kind of form that it was this time last year. And Zambezi Fix hasn't quite lived up to the expectations of Gordon Elliott as well. So I think this is a really weak race, and it's certainly capable, or within the capabilities of Spruced Up.
Not quite verging on best of a bad bunch, but the best value out there as favourite, even at 4-1.
Well, I think she's very progressive. Okay. And that run here last time out, the great thing about that run the other day was at the track. It was over the course and distance. She's proven herself at Leopardstown. And in this much weaker event, with that lad as well, it was very good, by the way. Simon Torrens taking 7 off, if you're a weight to measures man. You know, it's racing off 112.
Yeah.
So it's actually, you know, effectively the £7 less than it was last time out, which is another feather in its cap.
Another tick in the box.
Indeed.
Spruced Up, 4-1 at time of recording. Edward Hartey and Simon Torrens on board. Right, that wraps up the 3:35. Let's talk about the 4:10. We're going to scooch forward just the one race. It's a novice's chase, 2 miles and 1 furlong here. Just the 8 listed, and unfortunately, at time of recording, we've only got SPs, which is a bit of a shame. Hopefully the traders will get themselves going and get this priced up ASAP. I can run you down the runners and riders in race card number order, though. Nikolai, number 1, Rachel Blackmore on board. We have Prospectus with Jonathan Moore on board. Bat Chow, my word, can't talk today. Ian McCarthy on board. Grand Partner, Sean O'Keefe. Smith's Corner, Connor Orr. Envol Parigi, Niall P. Madden. Cagney, Liam McKenna, and Monstrosity. Number 8 will be ridden by Connor Maxwell. No prices to go off, which is a little bit of a shame, if I'm completely honest with you. Who are you going with, and where do you see them fitting in a potential market?
Well, I'm going with the one that you completely butchered.
Brilliant, you made me
Batsio.
Say it again, aren't you? Batsio,
number three on the race card, Ted Walsh's charge. Been put in 11-4 in the betting forecast. Put this way, I think if that's 11-4, then I want to be taking it.
Okay.
I think this will also be a 6-4 shot, or he should be. He was a good second here beyond Drum Connor Ladd, two starts ago, in what was a viciously competitive and well-run handicap. He jumped, he travelled, he looked the most likely winner in that race, but unfortunately he just came and stuck. There were big distances back to the third. The form has worked out really well. Powers Bomb and Ticking Express are running a very competitive race next time out at Thurles. They finished first and second respectively. At the Acorn, who was third, he's won next time out. And then he went back to Leopardstown for an even more competitive race, or just as competitive, on the Dublin Festival weekend. He was in the process of running another massive race. Again, he jumped, he travelled, he was trying to make all the running. I think he was a length up when he come to the second last. Very tricky fence on the corner at Leopardstown. They come off the corner at speed, and if he catch the fence wrong, which he did, he ended up on the floor with his momentum. So unfortunately we lost him two out, but I think he would have fought out the finish. In the end it went the way of Claude de Buffo, who's a very good handicapper from the Nolmead stable. Paloma Blue, who's a high class horse in his own right, he's a strong fancy from many for the Grand Annual at the Cheltenham Festival. So we're talking a high class race here. And looking at this field, he's now back into normal novice company off level weights. So he hasn't got to worry about those older handicappers, as it were. So I think he's got a huge, huge chance here. And as I said, I think if he's around the 11 to 4 mark, then I'd recognise that probably being even a better bet than Spruced Up.
Let's hope we get the betting through pretty soon for Baccio. Baccio, happy with that?
Baccio, yeah.
There we go, Baccio. Number three on the race card for the 4:10 at Leopardstown, only at SPs at the moment, which is unfortunate. Well, Andy, thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks for looking ahead to Leopardstown. Thank you for moaning about the weather with us as well.
No, that's fine. I like a good moan, you know. I'm sort of, I can do my Victor Meldrew impression if you
If you do want to take advantage of listening or watching the William Hill Cheltenham Festival preview show, we recorded it last Tuesday and then it was run live on William Hill's Facebook, YouTube and Twitter pages on Thursday night. It's still available via all those three channels. Just search at Will Hill Racing on Twitter, or if you're going on YouTube, just search for William Hill and it's all available there. The team of Leona Mayer, Dave Kellner and Mark Walton were joined by the likes of Sir A.P. McCoy, Andrew Thornton, Sam Tristan-Davis, Nigel Tristan-Davis and Rebecca Curtis. Available right now via all of William Hill's social channels. Thank you ever so much again, Andy, for joining us.
You're welcome.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.